things I would freely give to know on earth if Franklin lives.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of PugsFest, Saturday, April 22nd at Tabor Space in Portland. PugsFest is a celebration of lifelong learning with a whole day dedicated to sharing ideas and questions through original workshops. This year, our central theme is space and spaces. Spaces in between, spaces outside, spaces of resistance. Workshops include Truth in the Social, The Echo Chamber and Wild Spaces, The Approachability of Outer Space, and much more. Again, that's PugsFest, Saturday, April 22nd at Tabor Space, 5441 Southeast Belmont Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hello and welcome to Words and Pictures, your narrative arts show. I'm your host, S.W. Conser, and today we have back in the studio a couple of award-winning Portland comics artists who haven't been here in a while. We're glad to have them back. Ryan Alexander Tanner is here, and so is Farrell Dalrymple. Gentlemen, it's great to have you here in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me and Farrell.
I think when you were last on the show, I was kind of introducing you as struggling artists. And Farrell, you had your personal book out, which was Pop Gun War. And you're also doing a project for Marvel called Omega the Unknown.
Well, that's how long ago it was.
That's how long ago it was, yeah. And nowadays, you've done a lot of work for DC and Marvel, and you've got a couple of new books out that are very personal also.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a struggle. I don't want to give anyone the impression that I'm not a struggling artist still. But I haven't really done a lot of work for Marvel since doing Omega the Unknown, like a couple things here and there.
Wasn't there some X-Men stuff that you worked on?
I just did like a two-page thing for like Death of Wolverine or something I think Jason Latour wrote. Yeah, and that was just because I like Jason, you know. I don't have a rapport necessarily with any of the editors there. And I think after, like, the whole recent election stuff, I don't ever want to work for those guys again. Yeah, my days of doing anything freelance for Marvel, I think, are over. It was a good experience working on Omega the Unknown.
Well, I think one of the things that both of you have in common is that you have a lot of comics about kids or for kids, but they're not, you know, funny animal or sunny children's book style things. They can be very real. I mean, the way that kids are multifaceted. Like Ryan, you do a lot of comics about teaching. You did, of course, the To Teach, A Journey in Comics with Bill Ayers.
Yep.
And you've been doing a lot more instructional stuff. You actually teach comics to kids of all ages. So
Sure. You
try to bring out the storytelling vibe in everybody, but I don't think you're censoring what comes out of kids' minds. You know, you're going for that realistic slice of life material that comes from their own experience.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing summer high school classes at PNCA. I would teach adults too. Like, I'm teaching a comics class at PCC right now for adults. But actually, they just killed the program, but for 2 or 3 years I was teaching high school kids at PNCA in the summer in the pre-college program, and those kids were just unbelievable. Like, the quality of their work was really intense, like, each time. And it's always all girls, which is interesting to me. I do think, like, the next generation of comics artists is going to be a majority of women, and I'm not sure why that is exactly, but I think it's great because it'll you know, we'll get a little more variety in the comics that we see. We have like 80 years of male-dominated comics. But yeah, I mean, to me, teaching is just about assessing what someone's trying to do, essentially, and helping them do it. And I think the very best students I've had, all you really do is like let them know that they're good at this. And then, you know, and you kind of guide a process like, oh, do thumbnails before you do your final pages, stuff like that. Or like letter it before you make the drawings, just things like that. Really pretty simple, like process-based stuff to kind of work out the bugs. But a lot of those kids are like ready to go, you know. I've met some geniuses.
Well, I think one of the reasons why you see so many more women in comics these days has a lot to do with the internet. Like, Farrell's work is still, you know, it's still coming out in print, which is great. I love print graphic novels and monthly comics. But webcomics is really a great domain for expressing personal stuff. And definitely in the last decade, there has been a huge increase in the number of women coming out to promote their stuff at comics conventions mm-hmm. and at other gatherings.
Yeah, it seems like the culture of comics is changing. I mean, we're like aging men, all three of us. So I don't know. I don't know where it's coming. I don't know what the hell's happening. I know what I'm interested in or what I'm trying to do. I mean, I've always, since I was a kid, I grew up reading genre comics, but I also read like Linda Barry comics and Matt Groening comics and comics in the newspaper, and then you know, Larry Gonick books and things like that. So I always was really interested in this idea that comics could present anything, that there shouldn't be like an insulated culture of what is comics, that we should be, that, you know, like if a kid in school has to write a book report, there should be really good comics containing the information that they're trying to get, things like that, you know. So that's a lot of what I've been trying to work on, is just sort of breaking out of known conventions. Or, you know, you're a comic story, oh, I draw comics, people go, oh, is it Spider-Man? Yeah. Or, you know, and just that.
Or even worse, like, oh, like that Finding Nemo movie.
Yeah. You know,
you're like, what?
That's not even the same medium. Yeah. So, yeah, I've always been in, I mean, and I like traditional, I draw a Spider-Man comic if anyone wanted me to, you know, but I'm just interested in kind of contributing to this broader range of material that is comics, you know.
It seems like a whole lot of your stuff is nonfiction, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of collaborations, too.
Yeah.
You do a lot of instructional stuff. You just did. Tell us about the series you've been doing for the New York Times.
Sure. Well, I did one thing for the New York Times, which was a big moment for me, and we're actually working on a second one. Well, I did a piece for the NIB maybe 2 years ago about miscarriage, because a bunch of friends of mine had them, like, all at the same time.
Wow.
And I kind of kept having the same conversation with people and people who didn't know each other about essentially just that everyone who had a miscarriage that I knew said they didn't realize how common it was until they had one, and that there was no cultural framework offered to them in terms of how they were supposed to cope with it or express it or deal with it, you know, that there's no language around it. You can't call in and say, I'm taking the day off work because I had a miscarriage. So I just interviewed four women who'd had miscarriages, and then I interviewed someone with medical experience to sort of frame the narrative. And it was just about, like, look at these four very different women and how they are essentially having the same experience, you know, in very different ways. So that was published, and it did all right. And then a clinical psychologist in LA, Dr. Jessica Zucker, got in touch with me, and she started the hashtag I had a miscarriage, and she was very intense about not hiding that experience and communicating it. And so she has just been really enthusiastic about projects, and she had written stuff for the New York Times before. She's like prestigious. I mean, you get people who want to collaborate with you all the time, I think, in comics, but every once in a while someone approaches you and you're like, yes, I do want to work with you. So we've done a bunch of stuff. She's really savvy about getting venues and stuff. So we did a thing for Bitch Media and a thing for the Washington Post and for BuzzFeed. And then most recently we've done a thing for the New York Times. So we did one about the body, like the way the body grieves after miscarriage. She's interested right now in concepts of like conceiving after miscarriage and what that's like emotionally. And then the next thing is about having a birth plan. That's what we're working on.
Yeah.
So she's the idea person, and she just kind of tells me what she wants to do, and I just try to make it look good, you know?
Yeah, you mentioned Bitch Media. Mm-hmm. Sarah Merck, who's a mm-hmm. friend of the show.
Yeah.
You've done some team-ups also.
Yeah, I did a thing on breakups with her, and she and I pitched a book together. What else? I think and she was the editor on the thing I just did for the NIB with Bill Ayers, too.
Right. Oh, so the NIB, another mm-hmm. friend of the show, Matt Boers, yep. Runs the NIB, which is well worth checking out and subscribing oh,
yeah.
to.
You should all be looking comics at it artists. Every day. Yeah.
So, yeah, you had this book that came out in, what was it, 2008, 2009?
Did you teach book with Bill?
To teach yeah, with like Bill that. Ayers. You were living with Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn mm-hmm. during the lead up to the Obama election.
That is
and
true.
It was apparently quite a scene to just yep. even go out grocery shopping with Bill Ayers because all these kind of James O'Keefe wannabes were videotaping everything that he did, just sort of trying to get him to do something obnoxious.
No, but yeah, I mean, that's like one of the stories of that experience I had of staying with them that we got rolled up on at Safeway, you know. By it's funny too, because I've seen that whole experience really changed my view of like media in general. Like when, and I mean, I was just peripheral to this thing. No one wanted to talk to me, you know, but like, I remember like coming out of the car to go into the house and these Fox News guys were like really antagonizing us. They're antagonizing Bill more than me, but I was there. And you just think like, what if I just started like kissing them or something, you know, like, or what if I just started like dancing or something just to like disrupt this thing that they're doing? And like, I think sometimes, you know, like Britney Spears shaving her head or something, it just makes more sense to you. In that moment, right. when you go, oh, maybe you would just have this weird visceral reaction to this, just to like push back against this thing that's happening to you.
By the way, you know, this was kind of ancient history. The Weather Underground stuff happened in like late 60s, early 70s, mm-hmm. and Fox News was still bringing it up. But you're still doing cartoons with him because mm-hmm. You had a great collaboration. You were not only acting as an illustrator, but as partly an editor of this book. So
right.
he decided to do some more work with you. And there's a very recent one about resisting the Trump administration.
Yeah, I mean, now Bill is just a person that, like, if I, you know, like I'm thinking about going back to school and I'll call Bill and go, what do you think? You know, he's just like a smart guy who I'm close with, you know? So like he was on a book tour recently because he wrote a new book. And I was just really interested in things he was saying and how they were applicable to the Trump administration. So, and I talked to him on the phone too. I think like many people, you know, like the day after Trump got elected, I called Bill just to be like, what do we do? And he doesn't know, you know, he's not like, oh, so plan A is right. You know, he's just like, yeah, it sucks. Like, I think a lot of people, myself included, come to him and expect him to have all the answers or something. But in a moment like that, he's just another, yeah, that sucks, you know? So I saw him give a book talk and I just felt like we could kind of, encapsulate a lot of these ideas and make a comic for the web, you know, and that it would be a good way to. I always feel like comics are like a lot of people won't read an article, like, oh, here's a 200-page article about blah, blah, blah. But if it's a comic, you can take that same information and kind of repackage it with visuals and cut up the text so it's quick, you know. So that was what we were doing there. And I feel like it came like about a month too late. I feel like if it had come a little bit earlier, it would have been bigger, but I think there's really a cycle of reactions, like people were got really fired up and were protesting all those things, but I feel like this comic came out a week or two ago, and I feel like we're in a moment right now where people are really tired, like where people don't want to think about this at all, and they go, I'm just getting up and going to work every day, and I don't want to, mm-hmm. which is part of the problem, you know, because that cycle is very fast. Even when we were working on this comic, I was developing these visuals for it with Bill, and the visuals were changing over the weeks I was drawing the thing, just because things happen so quickly now. You know, what are our visual like if you did something right now, it'd be something about Syria. You know, 2 weeks ago, it wouldn't have been about Syria. Okay. Or things like that, or images, we were talking about using images of Standing Rock, and that situation kept changing as we're in the few weeks I was drawing the thing. So things are happening very fast. But I mean, it's funny because the whole point of the comic is just like, don't get tired, don't lay down, you know? And then I feel like the reaction to it, or like the lack of reaction to it, is kind of indicative of that problem, that people don't want to, and I don't either, I don't want to wake up and think about, what don't I have a daily action text I get every day, I'll call your senator and say I don't like this thing.
I have all these television shows to watch.
Yeah, or like or just that, like, it's so bleak and horrible that I don't even want to think about it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's
Well, there's a built-in downside to nonfiction comics. It's like trying to make it evergreen, trying to make it not something that's strictly of the moment is mm-hmm. always tricky.
One thing that I feel like works is that we don't ever try to present the solution at the end. Like, do A, B, and C, and then you'll be fine. Like, it's always about moving towards a solution. That we're always a work in progress and working towards something better for ourselves. And that's what, you know, a lot of these comics work is about. You know, like the miscarriage stuff. Like, you're not going to, oh, and then I felt great about having a miscarriage. Like, you're never going to feel like that. But you might feel more functional or feel recognized or understood and, you know, get you in the direction where you can start moving on with your life, you know?
That's good, I guess, if you're, like, stimulating conversations. And
that's the goal, you know?
Talking about it.
You're listening to Words and Pictures on KVU. I'm S.W. Conser, and we're joined today in the studio by two award-winning Portland comics artists, Ryan Alexander Tanner and Farrell Dalrymple. I want to get back to comics about kids, and Farrell, you've had both of these projects, Pop Gun War and Wrenchies, which are set among kids. And you don't have any kids of your own, no. Do you? But where do you get inspiration for these
titles? Not according to his attorney.
That was coming. I'd be lying if it didn't flash in my head, too. But I'm sorry, what was the question?
So, I want to talk more about your alimony payments, Farrell. <Yeah. laughs>
So Pop Gun War and the Wrenchies, both stories with kids that are really resilient. And
yeah, I mean, I enjoy, using kids as characters because it seems easier for me to get inside their heads than writing for adult characters. It just seems to come more naturally to me, I guess. Like, it's where I draw a lot of my ideas from. It's like my own childhood. The main difference with those books is that, like, you know, Pop Gun War is kind of like an all ages sort of kid friendly, but like the Wrenchies, I was planning on doing that. I wasn't planning on writing it for children, you know, from the start. It was like, oh, I'm going to have some kids in it, but this book is about some pretty dark stuff, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of dystopian fiction going around, and this is definitely in that groove.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't seem like there wasn't as much when I started working on the book, but like, even like while I was working on it, yeah, there was just like young adult novels and stuff that were coming out. And like, you know, after the Wrenchies came out or around the time it came out, it seemed like there was just like a slew of movies too that were all like adaptations, you know? Like,
well, it's, you know, it's dark, but there's fun bits to it. I mean, I keep thinking like there's a bit of Tank Girl influence in there, maybe
I mean, I like Jamie Hewlett's art. I was never a big fan of the comic.
What were some of the influences that you had? Were any movies, oh, wow, art, anything like,
oh, yeah,
that really turned
probably
you on?
The biggest influence on that was this movie called Over the Edge. It's a 1979 movie about these kids, and it was kind of based off a real thing that happened in like Colorado or California or something like that. But it's set in this town, New Granada, that's like this. It's like a manufactured, you know, suburb type place, but there wasn't like anything for the kids to do. They had like a rec center. And so the movie, they just get into all sorts of trouble, you know, doing drugs, and like the parents are kind of in their own world. And I like the way the kids talk to each other and sort of like this, to me, it seemed like a realistic fashion, you know? So I wanted to put that in the Wrenchies, you know, so all the kids are like swearing and doing drugs and things like that. And then the main character of the book, the story, there's not a lot of scenes with him in it. It's like, there's a whole section about this character, Sherwood. The story's about him, but it's like, there's not really a lot of interaction or dialogue that he has in the story. But the thing that I'm working on now, he's the main character in it as a teenager. So I'm actually kind of having some difficulties, which normally it's like really easy for me to write children, but like for some reason kind of like reverse engineering it, and like, okay, now I'm gonna write this thing because I you know, had a bunch of scenes of him in the Wrenchies as a grown-up, and now I'm like trying to figure out like, how, you know, what is this person like as a teenager, you know?
In the in-between days. So that's a project for the future. The art is really dynamic in both the Wrenchies and Pop Gun War, and it's not like everything is hyper-realistic. There's a lot of allegorical kind of imagery that you like putting in.
Yeah, I like, you know, I like slowing things down and speeding things up, you know, like kind of making people just kind of like think about what they're reading rather than just, you know, flipping through, reading it as fast as they can, you know. So it's like, oh, I'm putting in all this effort into this story. Like, I don't want to just use the art to facilitate the story. Like, I want to actually create this kind of like hybrid of art and words things, you know.
Well, there seems to be like some cinematic pacing. Like, you're kind of influenced by maybe some magical realist films, for example. I keep thinking of sometimes, like in the case of Popgun War, I think of Beto Hernandez, of the Hernandez brothers, kind of magical realist space that characters can come and go in.
Yeah, I like the what is it, the town, Palomar. Palomar, yeah. That's it. Yeah, I like those books, but I was always more into Jaime's stuff. You know, like growing up, I didn't
the,
really
the
read.
Love and Rockets stories. Yeah,
I didn't read any of that stuff until I got into college. If anything, like stylistically or artistically, I'd say like the biggest influences on, you know, old Marvel comics, like John Buscema stuff. Like growing up reading all that stuff, and then a lot of like children's books. Like,
oh, really?
Like a lot of specifically Elizabeth Werger. I don't know if you know her work.
No, tell me about her.
I think she primarily works in watercolor. At least that's the stuff that I really respond to. I haven't really taken like watercolor classes and stuff. I was more of like an oil painter in art school. But looking at her work made me want to color my comics in watercolor versus like using Photoshop or something like that. Yeah, it's gorgeous stuff. She's done tons of books. Newbery Award winner.
Give us a background of Popgun War, because that's been a series, but it's been building slowly over the years. Last time you were here, the first Popgun War had been published by Dark Horse. Now Image has taken it over, and you've got a second volume coming out.
So yeah, the first volume, it was originally published by Dark Horse, and then I started running, serializing the sequel to it in this book called Island that has actually been canceled. But it was coming out from Image. A friend of ours, cartoonist Brandon Graham, great cartoonist, he put it together with another cartoonist, Emma Rios. It was a really good comics anthology. It just, you know, anthologies are problematic. They don't sell that well. Mm-hmm. But I was able to finish the whole book in running it in Island. Like, we got in the last issue.
So what are some projects that people can be looking out for from both of you, Ryan and Farrell?
Well, I'm working on a big thing that I can't talk about yet, which is how I roll. But I really have been sitting on what I want to have be like the book of my career for a while, and I finally got to a place where I'm like, I'm working on this. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Is this going to be epic?
I hope so. I mean, we'll see. But and then, you know, so I'm doing another thing for the New York Times, so that'll be coming out. I think it's coming out for Mother's Day because it's about birth plans. And then
you've been doing some stuff for Planned Parenthood, right? Is that
correct? I did a poster. That was another one where it had to run as columns or as one big poster, you know. That was a blast, so I loved that. Like, on one page, you had to do a narrative about what it's like for different people to come to Planned Parenthood and the coverage they get, and also describing all the inner workings of Planned Parenthood in one thing. It's cool to give clients that you genuinely believe in the thing that they are. Like, I think Planned Parenthood is great. You know, it's terrible that they have so much opposition all the time. But yeah, it generally seems to be a lot of, like, outreach, and I feel like I'm a better person in the work I do than in real life. Like, I think a lot of this stuff comes from feeling like, oh, it's so frivolous to be a cartoonist, you know? So trying to find ways to apply it that are meaningful. I'm trying to do work that makes up for my lack of purpose.
You're doing good work.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're a good person.
And Farrell, so Popgun War Chain Letter is coming out soon from Image.
Oh yeah, that's coming out in June.
And then you've got you've got another personal project that is kind of simmering.
Yeah, I have some pages done. So it'll be on the Stila app. I think it's like a subscription service, but they have some free content.
Yeah, it's
so,
like Netflix for comics, kind of, right?
I'm not exactly sure, but something like that. Yeah,
that's my understanding. It's like you subscribe to the app and you have access.
Well, you
to all
can
the
get the app for free, and I think there's some stuff on there that you can look at for free.
Okay.
And I think my comic's going to be for free.
Oh, cool.
But that'll just be like a couple months. I'll start putting the pages up. I just wanted to get a little bit of a lead time. Yeah, hopefully, like in a month or two, they'll announce it, and I'll announce it that it's actually okay, you can start reading it. And then every week I'll be posting like 4 to 6 pages.
One thing that's always been really interesting to me is that all your work connects in some way, and sometimes in very kind of abstract ways, but that even like Pop Gun War and the Wrenchies and probably some new stuff, right? Like there's like characters will show up in each other's stuff. And
oh yeah, totally. Like this is kind of more of like a follow-up to the Wrenchies than It Will All Hurt was. Mm-hmm. So it's like the main character from the Wrenchies is like the main character in the story. All my stuff interrelates. Like every story that I've done that I've written myself takes place in the same universe or something, you know. Like the Popgun War world is like kind of like urban fantasy, mm-hmm. you know, kind of whimsical type stuff. And then like the Wrenchies world is like this sort of more kind of weird fantasy, science fiction, post-apocalyptic type.
But is the Wrenchies
laser gun type stuff?
Is the Wrenchies world the future of Popgun War? Or it seems like they're like parallel realities, kind of.
It is, and yeah, it is. It's kind of like I think of it at least in my own head as like I don't know whose other head I would be thinking of stuff in, but yeah, it's just like these characters can kind of interact with each other through however means that I want them to, you know.
I always liked that though, like when I read a ton of Vonnegut books, you know, and as a teenager, and like, oh, there's Kilgore Trout again, or you know, like,
That guy's an influence on me for sure.
Kilgore Trout,
Vonnegut, and Madeline L'Engle would do that as well. Like I think that's kind of where I got like
A Wrinkle in Time and A Wind in the Door. Yes.
Yeah. I think the fourth book in that series, Many Waters, had a family tree in the beginning of it. One was like her science fiction, you know, Wrinkle in Time stuff, and then the other one was like her young adult stuff. And then there was a couple of characters that sort of crossed over between the two worlds, and she just had it all laid out there on like a little map.
Mm.
And I just remember being really excited about that. And I was like, oh, I want to read all these books now.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I just kind of carried that with me for years. I'm like, oh, I'm an author. I can do that if I want to, you know.
And your work for hire, that still happens? You've still got some mainstream publishers that you do stuff for?
Occasionally. So, I mean, I'd rather not, but, you know.
Any of your characters going to show up in a blockbuster movie one of these days?
Probably not. I mean, there's for years I've had a buddy talking about doing something with Popgun War, but I guess he couldn't sell it to anybody, you know. He's like a writer-director type guy. But I just started talking with this other writer-director guy. He wanted to do something with the Wrenchies. So we'll see. I don't know.
Wow.
I doubt anything would ever happen with it, but I like his work. Like, he did a couple short films that I thought were really good, and he seemed to really get what the story was about. Like, we had a long conversation and similar upbringings and related a lot to the subject matter. I mean, he did most of the talking, but I related a lot to what he was relating to. So I don't know. That, who knows, you know.
You like that spin? You like that hot take?
Yeah.
Seems like some of the most interesting stuff's coming out on TV and web series now, actually.
Yeah.
The new version of Margaret Atwood's
Handmaid's Tale
is now a series on TV.
And in a comic book as well. They're doing a comic adaptation that a Vancouver artist is illustrating. Renee Nault is the artist on that.
Well, Ryan Alexander Tanner and Farrell Dalrymple. So, hey, thanks for coming in today, by the way.
Thanks for having me.
And tell us where listeners can find out more of your stuff, can get a start on looking at your material and finding out more about it.
Well, I have like a website that I don't update very much, but I'm on Instagram. Like,
and,
it seems to be my most regular thing that I use. You know.
Let's spell your name so people can. It starts with F-A-R-E-L.
Mm-hmm. That's my first name. And then my last name is Dalrymple, Dalrymple, which I'm thinking about changing, shortening just to Dal or something.
It's too late.
Well,
too much stuff out.
I don't know. I noticed that guy, he was like the governor that you mentioned, Standing Rock, was like the governor of like South Dakota or whatever, North Dakota. His last name was Dalrymple. It's like Jack Dalrymple or something. Just remember being really irritated, you know. It's like, oh, man. I wanted to share the same name with that jerk, you know. I don't know.
And Ryan, you're on Oh Yes, Very Nice.
.com. I know, I regret not. I remember when I first ever, the first stuff I had published was in the Willamette Week, and I remember being like, okay, if I'm going to have a pen name, like, now's the time, you know, because I got a hyphenated last name. Like, I can't have Ryan Alexander Tanner be my Twitter handle. It's too long, you know. And I couldn't come up with anything. Like, what should my pen name be, you know. I kind of regret that now, but yeah, it's very nice. And that's my Twitter also, which is a good place to get updates on projects, and it's my Instagram and all that. We all got to do this social media stuff now. It's important.
Yeah.
Well, cool. We'll look forward to your next projects, and we got to have you back in the studio when that happens. So, yeah, thanks again.
Thank you.
Sure.
And thanks to all our listeners on the radio dial and at KBOO.FM. You've been listening to Words and Pictures. I'm your host, S.W. Conser. You can find an archived version of this show later today at KBOO.FM/Words and Pictures. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at Words and Picture. Now stay tuned for an afternoon of music on your homegrown Portland radio station.